Give God some praise in the house. Anybody still know that God is a miracle worker? Come on, I know y'all can do better than that. Anybody know that God is still a miracle worker and a way maker and a promise keeper? Amen. Matter of fact, just hug your neighbor. Tell him I'm so grateful to God in my life. I'm just so grateful to God in my life. To our visitors, we want to thank God for all our visitors. Usually we would have came out. I do want to personally apologize as the executive leadership of the Community of Hope AME Church. I realize that we started late. There were some sound issues and also some issues with the website. And so I just want to personally let you know that I apologize for that. Amen. We are better than that. Amen. And so we will make sure that all of those things get taken care of because we are better than that and we too old. Amen. Amen. So we will make sure. So I do apologize. Just want to personally apologize for that inconvenience. But it is sure enough good to be in the house of the God, of the Lord one more time. Amen. And so whether 10 minutes late or not, I'm grateful just to be here. Amen. That God woke me up and gave me another chance, another opportunity. Amen. And so I'm going to ask y'all to do me a favor for about the next 10 seconds. I'm very clear that when there are attacks, that is the enemy that is at work. Amen. And sometimes the enemy will do whatever the enemy can do to distract us, to get us off course, and to help us to then forget why we're really here. Amen. But I just ask for about 10 seconds, if you can just think about something God has done for you, if you can just offer up a praise for who God has been in your life, if you can just help set an atmosphere. Amen. Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. And I don't need Reverend Bill to hype me up. I don't need Reverend Bill to get me pumped. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus, when I think about ways he's brought me over and doors that he's opened and bodies that he's healed and sickness that he got me through and bills that he paid and jobs that he put me on and jobs that he took me out of and relationships that he got me connected to and relationships that he knew were no longer good for me. Amen. Anybody here just grateful that God's been God in your life? That God has been God in your life. Amen. Amen. Hug somebody before you take your seat. Tell them I feel better. I feel better. If I can get some help in these monitors, please, if you could turn me up in these monitors. If y'all would turn with me to Psalm 139th chapter, Psalm 139, looking at verses 7 through 12, I want to thank God for you all, for your prayers. Psalm 139th chapter, Psalm 139. When you got it, say, I got it. See, that's what I like to hear. I mean, I know we are a technological generation, amen, but I still love to hear the flipping of pages, amen, like you're searching for the word of God, amen, amen, as I look at my Samsung, amen. Psalm 139, looking at verse 7, it says, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Darkness as is light with you. I want to preach this morning, if y'all don't mind, on this Sunday. I want to preach from this sermonic subject. I'm being developed in the dark room. Look at somebody, tell them I'm being developed in the dark room. Amen. Let us pray. God, in Jesus' name, you take hold of what needs to happen. God, we thank you, God, that you still sit high, look low, God, that you are still in control of all things. And so even, God, in our own sense of not always holding to our bargain, God, you always hold to yours. So this morning, God, we need you. Somebody came in, God, in a dark place. Somebody came, God, even while the sun was shining, feeling like they're in night. God, we need a word from you. Somebody needs to be encouraged. Somebody needs to be uplifted. Somebody needs to be saved, healed. Somebody needs to be delivered. And God, all these things are out of my hands. So God, we put it in your hands. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, we call on you right now to take control. God, we call on you right now to have your way. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's in Jesus' name we want to say thank you in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank God for those who are watching online. Prayerfully, you are back. We are up and rocking on the internet. So prayerfully, you are with us. And we apologize to you as well. I'm being developed in the dark room. Digital cameras, smartphones really make it so easy to see exactly what we just took a picture of. It is so easy to just pull out your phone and take a selfie. It is literally a simple snap and then a look. There's no pause, there's no delays, there are no lingering moments to see the results of what has just been taken. And honestly, it subconsciously feeds and agrees with the culture of instant gratification that we as a people have been submerged and immersed in. To be able to immediately see what is in our minds show up instantaneously on a digital screen allows us not to have to wait on a process. Everything we take pictures of, it is promptly, without hesitation, it is in our view without ever having to worry or stress over what we just captured, because whatever we take a picture of, we immediately have access to. But I grew up in a different era. Before there were digital cameras, there were these things called film cameras. Anybody remember that mysterious thing called film? Even when you say it now, it sounds so magical and mystical. Y'all say it with me. Film. But back in the olden days, back in my time period, the process of getting your picture, it didn't happen in an instant with film. So although you saw it in your mind's eye, there were still steps that had to be taken in order to actually get it from being a strip of film to a physical picture that you could now hold in your hand. There was the composition of the picture. There was the taking of the picture. And even knowing that you would not be able to see it, you were very clear to take your time because you wanted to make sure that what you saw in your mind showed up in the film. And then that film had to be processed. And then there was the developing of the picture, which also involved what we call dodging and burning. I'm trying to teach you what I've been taught myself. And then even after you had done all of that, you still had to wait on the picture to dry while sitting in what was called a dark room. Okay, I'm going somewhere. Last Sunday, I was on vacation, but I tell you that even when I go on vacation, I'm still going to be in somebody's church on a Sunday, because this is not just what I do, this is who I am, amen? And so I found myself at a friend of mine, Pastor Nelson Bowen of Engage Ministry, and he talked about how all of us have to deal with dark times at some point of our lives. And he mentioned something that then resonated with me, and that was no matter how dark the room may get, the dark rooms we are placed in are really there to help us. They are there to help us grow in spiritual humility. They are help to help us move in a design purpose. The dark rooms are help to shape even our faith in a God that is more than able to keep us in the midst of the dark areas that we go through. And the reason I'm sharing that this morning is because it is the process in the dark room that we sometimes would rather skip. You see, if we are honest, it's the most important part of the lesson that helps us have a greater appreciation of the promises of God when they finally do show up. It is what happens. It is what happens in the dark room. It is what happens while we are uncomfortable, while we are afraid and vulnerable, while we are frustrated and even miserable, that we learn how to hold on to God in the midst of it and end up coming out of it better than how we went into it. I'm trying to talk to somebody that you are being developed in your dark room. In other words, some of the darkest times and the darkest moments we may experience have the potential to push us past our own limited perimeters so that we can be propelled to the promise God has already prepared for us. Now, I'm just trying to help somebody get an understanding that you've got to have process, because without the promise, the process, there is no promise. Without being developed, there is no destiny. Without finishing the assignment, there is no agreement. But you have to be willing to go through something. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubled times, when dark times come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed," Lord have mercy, "you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Tell somebody, I'm being developed in my dark room. I don't care how dark it is. I don't care what you cannot see. I don't care if you put your hand in front of you and you can't even see your hand. You need to let somebody know. But even in the midst of my nighttime, even in the midst of my darkest situation, that God is developing me, because God sees a picture in me that ain't even came out of me yet. God is working on something. So although human nature would make us run away from the dark rooms in our lives, thank you, Brother Field, I'm going to want that all this time. Amen. I feel like preaching this morning. We are taught that our spiritual nature that must run to the dark rooms. The places that we don't want to go is where God wants to take us. The places that are the most uncomfortable are the places that God wants to show us he can show out and show up in. So if you don't mind, I just want to share today, not only as a preacher, but as also a professional photographer who was not born on iPhones and who was not born on Androids, who was not born on LCD screens, but was born in the midst of film, understanding that in the dark room is where film is developed. It is where pictures come to pass. The first thing I believe that you have to understand about whatever dark room you are in is something that I learned as a photographer, and that is that God does, in the dark room many times, he takes us to a dark room because it keeps us from being exposed too early. Okay, y'all, I'm going to preach this morning. I wasn't here last Sunday, so I'm going to preach. You see, in photography, film is actually a negative, which is on a strip or sheet of transparent plastic, in which the lightest areas of the photograph subject appear darkest and the darkest areas appear lightest. And in order to process the negatives, the photographer must keep it from being prematurely exposed to the light, because the light will destroy the image that was supposed to be created. So the photographer takes it to the dark room. And this is where negatives are handled without everyone knowing what the negatives look like before it's produced, the picture the photographer took. And the reality is that all of us here have some negatives in us that God needs to deal with in the dark areas, so that we aren't exposed in public and destroyed by the shame and humiliation of what others haven't even found out about us just yet. I don't know about you, but there have been plenty of times in my life where I'm grateful to God that he has kept my negatives in the dark. kept my sins from being exposed, kept my shortcomings from being uncovered, kept my wrongdoings out of the wrong hands. And I wonder if there's anybody here honest enough to admit that God's grace has kept you, that God's grace has allowed him to deal with some of the negatives in your life without allowing the light to shine on the negatives for everybody else to see just how jacked up and messed up you really are. You see, so the dark room isn't always a place of harm, doubt, and uncertainty. But the truth of the matter is that God will use the dark room as a place of safety, protection, and refuge that allows him to handle us and deal with us in a way where we can be corrected, transformed, and restored, while he develops a magnificent picture, while not throwing away our negatives, but using our negatives in the process of what he's making in us. Tell somebody, he's using all of me, the good stuff and the bad stuff. I know it's a negative to you, but just let me stay in the dark room long enough and watch what the enemy meant for evil, that God will still turn it around for my good. I know you see it as one thing, but I thank God that God will take me in a dark room so that he can be patient with me. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. God's working on something. There's a picture in me that hasn't even been processed yet. But I'm going to stay in my dark room till he deals with my negatives so I can come out the way he wants me. Yes, Jesus. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Look at somebody. Tell him, God, create some of his best work in dark rooms. What are you talking about? Genesis 1:2 says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. But it was in the dark room of nothing that God created the beauty of everything. And I just want you to know, don't run from your dark room. Run to your dark room. Stay in your dark room. Don't let the light expose you too early. Because God's working on me. God's working. God's working on me. I've got some negatives that God is dealing with. See, some of us want to be on the grand stage. We want the promotion. We want the elevation. But can I tell you, with the elevation comes the spotlight. With the promotion comes more eyes to see you. Learn how to be humble in a dark situation, because God is still working in your character, so that when you get out, God can show you off, and you can say, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, God kept me, covered me in the dark rooms of my life. Second thing that happens in the dark room, second thing we learn about a dark room is that everything that starts with you isn't designed to finish with you. Okay, I gotta take you back to the dark room. Is that all right? I know some of y'all are already there, but I wanna talk to you. You see, when a photographer gets a roll of film and loads it into their camera, the film is in a canister or a container that is used to hold it together. And it is a vital part of helping make sure that the film is protected while it is in the camera. So although the film still has to go through a process to become a picture, the use of the canister is no longer needed when it gets to the dark room. Because once the film makes it to the dark room, the canister that was holding it together has to be removed, because the picture cannot be produced if the canister is still holding it. I remember I used to work at Ritz Camera right here, Iverson Mall, right down on this corner on the right-hand side. And I remember we would get the film And we would literally, we would fish it out. We would take piece of tape, we'd fish it out. But we'd have to do it in this dark area. You'd take it out. And then we would throw the canister away because the canister was no longer important. The canister had completed its assignment. Okay, let me help you. In our lives, I believe that God will sometimes dispose of things that are no longer required in helping us become who God is creating us to be. Sometimes people who were with us in the good times can't handle us when the dark times come. Sometimes people have fulfilled their assignment in our lives and they have to be removed. And sometimes we have people who God put in our lives to help hold us together for a season. But that season has to come to an end. But just because someone started out with you on the journey doesn't necessarily mean that they are supposed to finish the journey with you. There are people whose assignment in our lives we want to be permanent, but was sometimes only meant to be temporary. And the dark room is the place where those who may have been helping us keep it together have to be removed so that the hands of God can do the finishing work to get us from the canister to the picture. Look at somebody, tell them, I need God's hands on me. That there have been too many folks who've been holding me together, that have been helping me make it through. But now I got to go through a dark season. And I can't take everybody in here with me. Because God needs to remove some stuff that's been holding me down. Because God needs to get a hold of me. And at some point, you see, the film must trust the photographer more than it trusts the canister. Because the canister was not produced to do what the photographer can do, which is to get out of the film what is ultimately locked inside of it. And the film cannot even see what's in it because it's film. All it is a projection, woo, of the image that the photographer had before it even took the picture. Before he knew you. Woo. Before you were formed in the womb, God already knew you. Before you had even seen or even heard the voice of your mama and daddy, God had already set a plan for you. God was already separating you from some stuff that you haven't even come in contact with. Because God is the Alpha and the Omega. So he's already been where you trying to get to. So he already knows what he's got to get rid of. It is the job of the canister to just hold us long enough until we get to the dark room. And if we're not careful, the canister, which is used to hold us, becomes the holder that endangers the film from producing the picture that still lies inside of it. I'm trying to help somebody understand that the thing that was used to hold you together, when its season is over, will now only keep you from becoming what God intended you to become. The thing that you don't want to let go of is the very thing that's keeping you from your picture. That's keeping you from seeing the great things that God has in store for you. That you've been holding on to some folks because they were there with you in the bad times and helping you through some stuff. But now you're wondering why they've become so controlling and manipulative. That's because their season is over. And instead of trying to stay there wondering why they acting like they acted, you need to just say, God, take me to a dark room. And even though I don't want it, remove anything that's keeping me from what God wants me to be. The last thing is this. Look at somebody, tell them everything that starts with you ain't going to finish with you. This last thing is this. The thing you got to always remember is that no matter what dark room you go in, you are always covered. Okay. I thought I could have just done that. Open the doors, got you out of here. But y'all gonna make me preach the last point. Sometimes the hardest part of the dark room is feeling isolated, abandoned, lonely, and confined. The dark room will attempt to play tricks on your mind and have you feeling worthless, insignificant, and unimportant. Thoughts and beliefs can get away from you in the dark room. Self-esteem and confidence can get lost in the dark room. Obstacles and challenges can seem almost greater and overwhelming in the dark room. Because the hardest part of being in a dark place is not always being able to see that you are not there by yourself. I remember the first place where I learned to become a great photographer. That's right, a great photographer. I remember my father had a dark room in our house where he would develop his film. I remember the first time, Reverend Doctor, I was in there with him. I remember it being almost pitch dark. We walked into the dark room and it was pitch dark. I couldn't see light anywhere. But before he got ready to start, he hit a switch above him, and it was light. Now, I'm trying to figure out, Daddy, you know we are in the dark room, and I thought that we can't expose the film to light. And I asked him, I said, won't this destroy the film? Because there shouldn't be any light in the dark room. He shared with me, he said, son, this light is a special light. He said it's called a safe light. It is what's designed so that the photographer can work on creating a picture from the film in the dark room, while the safe light created enough light to protect the film from being exposed. So the safe light is the light that is in the darkness. Okay, y'all still, I don't know who was coming this morning feeling like they're in a dark room, but I just stopped by to remind you that you are not alone. That the same way there is a light that is sensitive enough to handle the film in the dark room, there is also another light that is in the midst of our dark room that is sensitive enough to handle our situations. It is a safe light that reminds us that we are not by ourselves. It is a safe light that reassures us that everything will be all right. It is a safe light that sees everything that we are going through, even right now. But more importantly, it is a safe light that understands our darkest situations, because that light has been where we've already gone to. Psalm 139:12 says, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day. For darkness is as light to you. I'm speaking word now. John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I'm speaking word to you. Psalm 18:18 says, for it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. I'm trying to speak word to somebody to help you understand that no matter how dark it may seem, that there's somebody that darkness does not affect. That he can see you even when you cannot always see him. That the darkness does not overcome the light. And the last thing that my father showed me, he said, son, he said, not only is this a safe light, he said, but I want you to look at it because it has a different color, because it is not only a safe light, but it is also a red light. So it takes not just a safe light, but it takes a special kind of light covered in red to be effective to the development of the negatives. Y'all not feeling me? But 1 John 1:7 says, what if we walk in the light, and he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And I don't know about you, but I didn't just need any light, but I needed a red light that would cover a multitude of my sins. The songwriter says that it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley.
the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. That's why when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in a fiery furnace, the king Nebuchadnezzar looked in and said, didn't I throw three in? But I see a fourth one in the midst of what they're going through. I'm trying to tell somebody, I don't care how dark your situation is, that God's blood is still covering you. How do I know? Because he went to his own dark room. They took him to Golgotha's hill, to a place called Calvary. They hung him high. They stretched him wide. He hung his head. And didn't he die? But then he said, I am not finished. Take me to the darkest area of the dark room. He said, I got a picture that still needs to be created. He stayed there on Friday, dodging and burning. He stayed there all Saturday, dodging and burning. But is there anybody in here that'll give God glory that early Sunday morning he got out with the greatest picture known to humanity? And because he got up, and because he handled the dark room, there's no dark room that can kill me. Because the red blood covers me. I got a safe life that's making a way.
Standing all over the church.